Ade Due Damballa, give us the power, we beg of you!
Hazusei is no more. Long live Satanuary. All month long at Apocalypse Video, we're giving tribute to the Dark Lord by diving into the depths of Satan's most devilish and diabolical filmography. On the final installment of Satanuary, the captains of the Nostromo and the Enterprise battle Ernest Borgnine and his eyeless disciples as they attempt to stay dry and not get gooped by the face meltings of the damned in the 1975 drive-in classic, The Devil's Reign.
Been films about earthquakes, airplane disasters, and blazing infernos, but there has never been anything like The Devil's Reign. His face.
That wasn't your father.
It was his face.
John. Mother? Mother!
Corvus! Damn you!
They have no faces.
The Devil's Reign. The 300-year search for the power to damn mankind is over.
Fools!
And the towering terror of the devil on Earth is now unleashed.
Burn!
Burn! Burn! Burn! Burn! Burn!
The Devil's Reign. Hundreds of souls held captive in an eternity of hell.
Seize him!
Possessed by the devil.
You, my son, have defiled all that is holy.
Mother, my God, my God!
They become his worshippers and his demons. The Devil's Reign. Starring Academy Award winner Ernest Borgnine, Eddie Albert, William Shatner, Keenan Wynn, and Ida Lupino as Mrs. Preston, and with the special participation of Anton LaVey, High Priest of the Church of Satan. The Devil's Reign. Conceived by the producer of A Man Called Horse. Created by the masters of magic of Planet of the Apes. Together, they bring you a melting hell on Earth. And absolutely the most incredible, unforgettable ending of any motion picture ever. Heaven help us all when the devils reign.
Hello, and welcome to the third installment of Apocalypse Video's Satanuary. I'm your host, Dave. I'm joined again by my fellow cultists, Michael.
Praise be the Lord of light and darkness, who is my salvation.
Ryan.
Dave, I masturbate a lot.
That's why I grew these hordes. And finally, Jackie.
Blasphemer, blasphemer. I'm John Travolta, by the way.
So, that was John Travolta. I was like, who was John Travolta in the movie?
He shows up already with his eyeballs out, but you can, hey, you see that John knows it's him.
So Devil's Reign, I have actually seen this movie before. I think I watched it for a podcast, not one that I was in, but like someone else did a podcast on it, so I watched the movie. I forgot how long the climax of this movie goes on for. It goes on for so long, and it's so goopy.
It's so goopy.
This might be the goopiest movie we've ever watched on this show.
They really were getting every penny out of their goop budget.
This is one of those movies where you're like,
there was a group. It might have been all the cat was the goop.
There was like, this is one of those movies where like either the makeup and or special effects people were like, we're really proud of this effect and we want you to see it. Like, we're going to show it. We're going to show all of it to you. Like, unedited. Uncut.
We are not cutting.
We are not cutting.
I don't know, Dave, like by the time you get to the climax of this movie, I don't know why you would be surprised that they're stalling for time.
Well, it is crazy. It's like this movie is only like an hour and 26 minutes long. And it's one of those movies where you're like, you can tell they're stretching for time to make it a full.
It's a 45 minute movie.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah. And it's funny too, because like there's basically no setup for this movie. We're just dropped right into a movie where it's like, did we miss the first act of this film?
It's
caught up on it later.
It's 100% like the way this movie starts is both so abrupt and amateurish that I was worried, like, it's one of those things like, oh, is the like DVD screwed up? Like, is it starting at the wrong spot? You know?
Nope.
It was, I mean, I'll say, it took me probably 3 watches to watch this movie.
That's so many watches of this movie.
I would fall asleep in the credits of this movie. It was like the thing of like...
The credits go on for a while too.
They do.
And I swear, like, I put it on one time and I was like, did I watch that? No, I didn't watch it.
Did
shit.
I dream that?
And then I dreamed, and then I was like, oh, the beginning of this movie is like a dream.
I timed it a little bit. The credits of this movie are 4 minutes, and it's 4 minutes of just staring at a Hieronymus Bosch painting. Like, I love, it's a great setup where it's just like, well, this is publicly available. No one's copyrighted Hieronymus Bosch. Yeah. Like, you can point your camera at some creepy art for 4 minutes.
Some weird music.
Now we're down to an hour 25.
I know,
we're on the way to a feature film.
That's 4 minutes out of fucking 86 minutes.
I know, but like, I think, like, just if you got drones and... I'm out. I'm just conked out. And I swear I started this movie two times. And then, like, I fell asleep in the middle of it so many times. And then I had to reset. And then I don't even know if I've seen the whole movie. I can't tell you. I've seen the end, but...
I know this may be, you know, we'll get into the movie. I know this may be like an amateurish movie. It may be, in some cases, in poor taste. It may be a slog. It may be something, you know, you need to take multiple sittings to get through. But something did, you know, at the end of the day, this movie did introduce John Travolta to Scientology. So something good did come out of this movie.
If only he'd said his Our Fathers a bit more, you know, he would have been protected.
That was going to be my other intro, was doing Our Father prayer, you know. But instead,
one of those movies. So this fits a lot of criteria. Like, it's a movie that's only like sub 90 minutes, but feels like over 2 hours.
Uh-huh.
It's a movie I think could be greatly improved by being like an episode of a TV show, like an anthology TV show. Like, if this were like 35 to 40 minutes long, I think
if this were a Tales from the Crypt episode, it'd be so much better. Like, it's just like about like a Puritan devil worshiper person who comes back to haunt a family.
I had this thought watching this. This is probably the type of movie that like Tarantino would be like, yeah, Exorcist kind of sucks, but this movie rocks.
Yes.
Like,
you know what? No, I was kind of thinking, though, Ryan, remember, because we saw in Bartertown, we saw the Headless Corpse of Tarantino present Rolling Thunder.
Yeah,
and I was thinking, like, how much... It's a similar, you know, kind of B movie.
It's just the same era.
Yeah, around that era. And I was thinking how much more exciting Rolling Thunder was than this. Like, this... I mean, I think maybe he's like holding. I bet he has some affection for this movie, but I don't know if he would be.
I just say this type of movie. I was like, what is this? Why? I didn't know all these people are in this movie. I don't know anything about it. It's like Dave pulled this out of another dimension or something like that. And I was like, why?
Well,
where did this come from?
There was that weird, like, I found like a little trap door underneath a rug in the middle of the store. I lifted it up and this movie was playing on like this weird globe thing.
Mm. Oh,
I'm like,
wow.
Oh, that's interesting. Maybe this would work for Satanuary.
That reminds
that's what a weird
That reminds me of what's the Carpenter movie?
Prince of Darkness.
Prince of Darkness. That weird like tube of souls or whatever the hell that was.
Yeah. There were, to this movie's limited credit, there are a few, like, visuals that are impressive. And as we said, I mean, the goop is...
Mostly, those visuals are mostly on the posters.
Yeah, but
this movie
sometimes...
This has Captain Kirk in it, this movie. This movie has Captain Kirk.
There's our Captain Kirk. There's
Dallas.
Ernest Borgnine. There's Ida Lupino is the mom. She, like, this is such a classic. Like
Anton kinda, LaVey is in this movie.
Just, you know, 70s. Like, I don't know who have we got still kicking around the lot, kind of. But it's really something.
It's something.
I mean, if we're giving, before we get into the story of this movie, I do want to give some positives. I think they're very indulgent on the goop, but to their credit, the goop does look good. I mean, you get heads like melting, and like there's really cool shots where like they frame
David,
it well.
It absolutely. I'm sorry. It does
what?
Not.
You didn't think the goop looked good?
It looks fun, but it looks like paint. I mean, there's no like.
Well, I will say it's effective. Like there are shots where people fall down on like steps and like you see like their hand, like the way they set up the goop and the people's bodies decomposing looks pretty cool. I mean, granted, it's simple. Like you can tell they just put a bunch of crap on someone's face and there's like tubes going up the back of their head.
Yeah, I think in the transitional goop moments, it looks good. But when they go full goop, it looks so silly. Like, I'm not even saying negative, but it looks very silly. Like when it goes full goop and it's just like, this is like some acrylic paint bubbling from
I think it's fun. I'm sure the actors hated it, but there's like parts where it's like steaming and bubbling. I'm like, that looks cool. The only problem is they're so indulgent on it. If they just pulled it back, it would be way more effective.
Yeah, or if it's like we had some quick cuts to kind of, instead it's like, here's another full 45 seconds. Like
it's the most effective right at top, where we're just thrown into the movie, we're in this, it's dark, it's literally, I can imagine the script, a dark and stormy night, you know? and this mother is like, oh God, when so-and-so gonna get home again? We have no idea who any of these people are, what their motivations are, what the stakes are, anything. William Shatner comes home. So-and-so isn't back yet. We're looking for the truck. And then some guy comes in with a melty face and collapses to the ground, talking to before he dies. He's just like, give Corbis back the book. Okay, I'm dead now.
All right, bye.
Yeah, or you're just like, who's Corbis? What's the book?
What?
Is this, I guess this is his dad.
Dad? Oh my God.
Steve?
The book. Corbis.
Oh, God help us.
Where is Corbis? The desert. Redstone. He's waiting for the book. Give Corbis what belongs to him.
And this is the most effective goop face moment, I think, because it's the shortest. Like, and it's effective too because Shatner's reaction.
They sit on it for a while, though, too. I think.
Well, they could cut it still, but I think it's the most effective here because Shatner's reaction. I gotta hand it to Shatner. He looks as if he's just seen the most disgusting, revolting thing he's ever seen. His face. He's acting well in this scene, I think. In this moment,
I think he's in general like good in this movie.
Yeah,
he's fun. Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. I mean,
in a cheesy B movie way,
he loves hamming it up, and I love that for him.
Like one of my favorite lines is deliveries. He looks on the phone, and then he pauses a long beat.
It's still dead.
I know.
Winds knock the lines down.
I don't think so.
What else could it be? It's only the storm.
Mark, don't think I'm a fool. Please listen to me.
Please don't.
It's my dream.
I know. Your dream.
Will you listen to me? It's the same night after night.
Yes, I know that, Mother. I don't want to hear any more about it.
Please, Mother. Enough of that. Devil drivel.
And this is like, I saw like, this is kind of like a weird kind of loss in the wilderness for his career because he was, this was the period after Star Trek ended, but before they did any of the movies. So I think he was kind of lost in the B movie woods for a while.
When was his other show? It was like T.J. Hooker or whatever.
That was the 80s, T.J. Hooker.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know.
This is his kind of barren wasteland, like oh my god, tumbleweed period.
Yeah.
Oh, you remember?
Shatter is the tumbleweed.
There's a shot of this movie where it goes to when we get to the abandoned mines, and it cuts to a tumbleweed, like it's trying to do like the tumbleweed rolling through town. I wish we were a video podcast, but I don't know if anyone else remembers this. The tumbleweed like gets stuck. And yes, it's just like a stuck tumbleweed sitting there. It was the funniest thing. It was like they can't even get the tumbleweed effect.
There's
right.
also a shot where a rocking chair is creepily rocking on its own, and the camera pans up, and you can see the light glint on like the fishing wire that's attached to the top that for someone pulling it off the screen.
Classic. I love it. I love that.
Yeah.
But again, to speak to some of the positives of this movie, again, I think if they pulled back on the goop, it could have been effective. There is also a handful of shots that are like actually good. Like there's a really cool shot where like Tom Skerritt, we'll get to the characters in a minute, when Tom Skerritt, Dallas from Alien, like drives up and he parks like directly in front of the church, and the camera is positioned where the church and the car are like right in the middle of the frame. And it's, I don't know, you got the landscape in the background. It's a really cool shot. There's a couple of like effective shots in this movie, and we should say
there's some widescreen and
there's some cool widescreen shots and landscape shots, but we should say not his best work, but this movie was edited by arguably one of the best film editors of all time, Michael Kahn, who is Steven Spielberg's editor on basically most of his early movies, like all the way leading up to like, you know,
he couldn't
the
save this one or something, you know?
Yeah.
Wow. It's like, I'll give you an honest couple hours with it, but...
Just a couple... There's a couple of movies. I don't know if anyone's heard of these, but he edited... I'm seeing a movie called Raiders of the Lost Ark, mm-hmm. Schindler's List, and Saving Private Ryan.
Wow. Interesting. Yeah.
That's pretty wild.
Oh,
and The Devil's Reign.
And a Apocalypse Video Zone Twister.
Oh, wow. That was him. Oh, wow. Okay, I forgot about that.
Damn, he did... He did fucking Fablemans.
Oh, he came back for that. Oh, wow, cool.
Well, West Side Story and stuff. Yeah, I guess he has another editor with him, too, but...
I get the sense that, like, I doubt he had much power. I get a sense that they're like, more goop, and they told him, like, we want all the goop. Look, we spent a lot of time on that goop.
This is, like, the kind of thing where, like, they gave him just, like, a... Someone showed up in like a pickup truck and threw over a bunch of reels of footage and was like, make a movie.
Well, if you look at his first stuff, I mean, this is like his first movies. Like, it's like the first like 10 years of his career, basically, or like all these like B movie westerns and kung fu movies, and looks like blaxploitation stuff. It looks like.
I mean, this is, you know,
gotta cut your teeth somewhere.
Is this too far out of the vein of like, you know, people like James Cameron coming out of Roger Corman? You know, this is why you need these movies. You know,
yeah.
Well, so those are my positives. Before we get into the plot, the movie, and all the terribleness, are there any other positives that you guys have before we dunk on this movie?
You know, in the many times of me falling asleep during this movie, I woke up to what I thought was the movie, but it was auto-played into, like, this Hammer Films show, whatever it is, like, Horror of Hammer, whatever, and there was a naked lady in that, and I was like, whoa! And then I was like...
Oh, this movie's cool!
And then I paused it, like, oh, the movie's over! It's not even that, it's, like, something else. And so I had to rewind back to see the end of the movie, or I had to like X out of the Tubi and
go back into the previous video you're watching.
That's disappointing.
It happened a lot. Like
I can just imagine like the smile fading from your face as you realize you.
It looked similar. You know, it was in the same like film stock or something. You know.
Wait a minute. This sounds less like a positive for Devil's Reign and more of a positive for Chad Tube's like algorithm for you.
Yeah.
Back to the goop.
Aww.
No. There's. I agree with David. I think. Unfortunately, Shatner. Well, I guess this is not a positive, but I was excited for him to wear a cowboy hat, and I don't think he pulls it off quite. You know,
it's too big on him.
It's a little bit like on top of his head. It looks
small.
It's.
He's Canadian.
But I was excited. He looks great in the first part with some jeans, and I'm just like,
I like
fun.
His look.
He's good looking guy.
But I was just kind of like. I would say in my dream state of watching this movie, I thought it was interesting the beginning, thinking of it like, oh, this does feel like a weird, like, I showed up to my mom's house and, like, my dad was, like, oozing blood, like, kind of, and they're talking about shit you don't understand. But there's never really, like, a they never really go back to what the hell they're talking about too much.
No, they do. But, I mean, they explain
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I guess they do. It's just, it's but a little...
like pretty far into the movie.
Yeah, yeah. They take their sweet time about it. But it's clear, it's... You definitely know what's going on.
Yeah, there's interesting stuff, and they did well with their cool ghost towns and stuff.
For positive, I do like in general kind of the look and vibe of the movie. I think
I agree.
I think this would benefit to. I think if you're out there like in the waste and you're thinking about watching this movie, watch it in the worst format you have available. Like, I think this would be best watched on like. 35mm, like 16mm film that's like scratched up, you know, or like
it seems cursed.
A VHS, you know,
the crunchier the better.
Yeah, the crunchier the better. And I could see this being an influence on things like Evil Dead, you know.
Yeah,
totally. And it's kind of cool to think about it that way. Like again, I'm thinking of positives here.
It's got a cool poster.
It has a great poster.
I will say, poster. Borgnine is going off in this movie.
Oh, yes,
I think a few people, we know Borgnine and Shatner. But I'll be honest, I think, I don't think this movie is really let down by any of the performances. I don't think that's the problem here. I think most of these people are having a lot of... I think the mom is a lot of fun, especially Ghost Eye Mom is
Where the performances falter is when they have to try to explain things, like chiefly the doctor, like Sam, when he's just like, "So hey, Tom, I found this book in your parents' place, and I read it. Let me tell you about the backstory."
I know that is funny. I don't remember Devil's the doctor Ray. How he came about. I was dead during that scene.
No, he just shows up out of nowhere.
Just cut to him. They're doing him and Tom Skerritt and his wife are doing this like demonstration on ESP.
The doctor was in that scene.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay, I remember that, but I don't remember
and
him.
You get some more bad acting there that kind of felt post-dialogue stuff where it's like, but doctor, like the terrible deliveries, but doctor, doesn't this include stuff like telekinesis and this and that and this? Like, yeah, it includes those, and it's all safe.
She's now in a state of deep meditation.
Dr. Richards, you mean she's controlling her body through willpower alone?
Our experiments would indicate that there's nothing in the subconscious that cannot be raised to the conscious level.
Nothing, Doctor? What about parapsychology, telepathy? Can that be controlled too?
Yes. I include that.
Yeah, I'm just looking at this, Book of the Dead, and there's people's blood, you know, it's all written in blood and stuff. No big deal.
Yes, his tone is just like that. It's just like, so hey, yeah, I found this thing.
That Devil's Rain. That's new to me. I've never heard of that.
You mentioned that last night in the ceremony.
Yeah?
You said something about I condemn my soul to the Devil's Rain.
Uh-huh. You know, this Corvus believes that he can separate souls from bodies. Well, it's an old superstition, and what you described happened last night.
Look, Sam, we're talking about something neither one of us understand. In the meantime, I don't know what in the hell's happened to Julie.
Wait, Tom!
What?
Yeah, his hand, he wrote his signature. His brother's name's in here. It's in blood, Nobody else.
One of those bound in human leather.
Oh, this is like while they're standing outside and the wind is like whipping the shit around. Everything's ADR'd. It's an interesting
choice. Tom Skerritt's like, "What the hell, Doc? What's going on?" Well, yeah, so you can see here, it's the Devil's Rain. It's in blood.
Oh, Devil's Rain.
His name.
Oh, hey, that's your brother's name. Wow, how about that?
Also, his wife is missing at this point. Like all this, his family's like.
What's with this book? What's going on? Like, why don't we go, Mike? What can you give us a flashback? Can you go into a flashback of this movie and tell us what this is all about?
Yeah, I mean, well, what should am I like recap? You want me to recap like the?
Hold on, Mike. My eyes are turning fiery. You're zooming into my eyes. What are you seeing?
oh my God! I'm seeing
sightless eyes.
A Puritan village.
It's sepia toned.
it's in the East Coast where something like where this church should be. This is an East Coast church. I don't know why it's here and outside of LA. So I'm seeing hundreds of years ago in Puritan pilgrim times.
That's what
Corvus
they call it.
Was a Satanist, which was a real thing, 100%. There were definitely Satanists. That was a real thing.
Well, the witch hunts were, they got
real
witches.
Yeah, the witch hunts were accurate. Yeah. They were devil worshippers.
Yeah, and they had to root him out.
So Corbus is this Satanist in the Puritan times who's hosting. He's hosting a nice Satan party. With it seems like half the village is there,
but they've been betrayed.
So like half of this Puritan village is actually worshiping the devil. You know, they're waking up every day like, all right, I'm gonna be evil. I want to be an evil person.
Time to worship Satan.
It's important to note there is no explained benefit to these people worshiping Satan.
Borgnine mentioned something like you want his bounty or whatever, but he never explains what that is.
Yeah,
no, mostly just see them in a weird church without their eyeballs.
Yeah, so they're all gathered. They're all Satanists in this pilgrim town. One of the members of the church of Satan is William Shatner's great 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 grandfather, who looks exactly
with a laughable Puritan wig,
and it's just William Shatner. And his wife isn't at this gathering because she's sick, presumably. But
that's what he says.
But then Corbus, the leader, realizes his book of all the souls bound and his evil book of the dead with all the souls bound in blood is missing.
It's almost like it's his book of contracts of like everyone here agreed that they have sold their soul to the devil.
Right.
Is that what Satan is?
Like, I was just like, they didn't make a copy of this book. It seems like they seem to be doing well as far as their devil powers without the book.
Without the contract, they can't register an accounting of their souls in the afterlife, so they're going to be doomed to purgatory instead of the sweet, sweet, sweet taste of everlasting
hell.
So the book is basically just a ledger?
It's very unclear.
I think in my mind, it's like, you know, when you sign on the, like in Bedazzled, previous Satanuary. Remember when he signs like the contract to sell his soul?
Sure.
I imagine this book is just compiling all of those contracts for all these people.
Well, the devil is very litigious, you know?
Yes, famously.
When you can't take the soul without the proper paperwork.
Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly. And so in the case of like any dispute, like we need the paperwork there. And Ernest Borgnine Corbus is he works for the devil, and so he's almost like a middle manager,
head priestess or something.
And so if the paperwork isn't in, he's been like in purgatory, it seems, for like these hundreds of years now since he lost the book, and then the Puritan village like burned them all. Spoilers: they all got burned at the stake, and he like.
Oh yeah, so basically, skip to the end here. You know, the book's missing. Corbus is like, I don't know why he steps out. I think someone knocks on his door. He steps outside.
Yeah, the mob has come.
Dang, the whole mob is here. The other half of the village, it seems like, is here with the pitchforks. And right there is William Shatner's wife, who was not sick at all, has just actually betrayed them, stole the book, and sold them all, and. Said it was promised that they wouldn't hurt him, but of course they're going to burn everyone at the stake. And
yeah.
Corbus is like, I curse upon you, traitorous family. I will haunt you for generations and get that book back.
Martin Fife, a curse on thee and thine forevermore. I will follow thee and thy descendants for all eternity.
I will listen.
Until the book is mine again, thou art sworn to Satan, and I will deliver thee to his glory. Vengeance will be mine, Aranessa. Vengeance will be mine.
And yeah, that's basically it.
The funniest part of this scene is like because the Puritan villagers are like, you know, tying the Satanists to be burned at the stake, and they're like, but for Corbus, he's not tied up, so he's just kind of like on the stake, just hanging out and like moving around and then pointing at the
it's an incredible performance.
It's an incredible moment watching this. Like Jackie leaned over, she's
it's
like,
"Great,
he's not actually tied on the stake." And I started laughing once I realized that. Like,
it's
he's
so
just
funny. He's like, "Yeah,
there.
Yeah, I'll go
he's
get
like,
myself
oh, you
burned
got
the stake.
Me,
That's
but
fine.
Real
yeah,
quick,
yeah, listen, you know, I'll do it. You don't need to tie me up. I got it.
I see where this is going.
We find all this out, I would say 50 to 60% of the way through the movie.
Yes,
So we begin, the movie begins, again, I mentioned earlier, we're just dropped into this. We're dropped into this house on a dark and stormy night. William Shatner comes in, I think his dad dies.
Well, we're basically, you know, what I just explained, we are dropped into the several generations later where Corbis is still haunting this family.
Yeah, and they have the book and...
They're trying to hide the book from Corbis.
They also have a, like, magical protective amulet to protect, like, so...
the amulet doesn't really
doesn't do shit. But they have it, and it looks really stupid.
The amulet cannot stab the goop.
It can't. But the book as well. And William Shatner has to like journey over to the old abandoned mining town to, I guess, rescue his parents. But also like they're gone, right? They're gone.
Well, it's staged in a really bizarre way. So it's dark and stormy. Shatner's waiting for a truck. Someone's going to come over to his house with a truck. They see the truck come out. Shatner walks out. He's like, you know what? I'm going to deal with Corbis my way. He takes a gun out. You know what I mean?
I'm going to shoot him with a gun.
And then the mother's like, no, take this amulet. It'll protect you. It's like, all right. He walks outside. He opens up the door of the truck. But, oh, it's like a voodoo doll in there. And it's stabbed.
Of his mom.
And then he looks back. And suddenly, like, there's, like, lights and crazy shit going on inside the house. And Shatner stands there for a moment. He takes a few beats before he does anything. Huh? We're talking like maybe 30 seconds. He runs back into the house, and somehow in the 30 seconds that he was standing out there, the place is ramshackled. The old guy that was staying there is like hung upside down like the Predator or something.
I like this. It's the devil. He can do crazy stuff like that.
And the mother is gone, and we get the great line.
Corbis! God damn you!
Corbis! God damn you! Damn you! And he runs outside. Shatner and he drives to this redstone. This ghost town out in the middle of nowhere. And it's odd too because like now that we have the context, like you know, looking back on this movie, having the context of what the story is that Ernest Borgnine cursed this family. It's like, so did he just now decide to attack them? It seems like the family knew about him.
Does he do this like every few years?
Yeah, it's very like looking back on it, you're just like, clearly the mom knew about this. Shatner knew about it. The brother, Tom Skerritt, didn't know about it for some reason.
But also he's involved. Like the brother who we don't meet till a little further in is like a professional like ESP guy with his wife.
So strange. So Shatner, so we'll get to the brother.
Just by coincidence?
Like, I'm going to take some frontier justice as Corbis guy. He drives out to Redstone with a gun. It's such a crazy setup. Like, he goes to this ghost town. He gets out of his car. He walks up to this well, which conveniently has, like, a little cup there. He starts doing the well. Nothing comes out. And then Borgnine walks
dusty
out.
As just hell.
Like, yeah, you want a drink? Good. Let me try it. And he presses it, and suddenly water comes out. And I'm assuming
like
this
font.
Is the moment... Shatner drinks the because like Shatner's like, oh, it's bitter, and Borgnine goes, well, yeah, it's bitter, but it'll quench your thirst or whatever he says. But it's so sweet to quench your thirst. And Shatner drinks it. I'm assuming this is the moment that Shatner's is done. Like he's basically fucked himself by drinking this water.
Yeah.
And then it's so bizarre because basically they see the church and Borgnine's like, you want to test your faith against mine? Come in here and watch service. And Shatner's just like, all right, I'll bet you. It's so strange. I'll bet you, Corbis.
Corbis! I'll face whatever you have behind those doors and come out exactly as I went in. A challenge? My faith against yours. For my mother and father. They go with me if I win.
Agreed. And if you lose?
The book.
And you?
Oh, this is one of the worst... it visually looks interesting, but it's one of the most like disappointing things of like test your faith against mine. You know, they go in, you expect like a better movie, like an Exorcist, you know, they might start getting into like when they get in there, like someone says something, here's why you should come to the devil. Like, I can offer you taste of butter.
He's basically,
you
know, just walks
they,
in.
They
like,
literally
watch
just
us do
go
service.
In there and they just recite competing prayers. You know, like, yes. One is like... Like he, like Shatner basically just
but
starts
no.
saying like the Lord's Prayer or whatever.
But it's
and then,
but it's framed in such
Mary.
A way, Hail it's Mary, framed yeah. in such a way. Shatner just walks in and they just and Borgnine just starts doing like their Satan Sunday service. It's not necessary. It doesn't really become pointed to Shatner until the end because at a certain point Shatner just walks in. He's like, I guess I'll just sit down then.
I guess I'll just be polite.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I'm expecting like. Again, another Satanuary movie, Devil's Advocate, you know, like Al Pacino's going off on like waxing poetically about why the devil is,
it's
why
more
he's
clearly
better than
a back
God.
And forth.
Yeah, there's it sets you up for such obviously going to be one of those scenes and then it doesn't deliver. So this was one of the most disappointing moments for me in the movie.
Yeah, it's like, and if we get to some flashier stuff a little later in the movie, but at this point, it's like, I don't know, man, this. Satanic church seems just kind of like a boring regular church. You just wear like your dark robes and gouge out your eyes or whatever. But the church itself, not really that impressive at this point.
For these Satanuary movies, this one, I think, so far makes the devil and Satan seem the least appealing.
Yeah.
Out of like, you don't, I don't understand. Yeah. I said earlier, like, I don't understand the benefit that you get here from selling your soul. It seems like it's all downside.
Yeah, I'm not sure what you're getting here.
You're not getting any sexy wishes. You're not, yeah, like, what's even the point?
And at this point, so Shatner starts saying the Lord's Prayer. It doesn't have any effect. And then he notices that his parents are there, or his mom is there, asking him to join in. He's like, no! And this is when we get one of the most unintentionally hilarious scenes in the movie. No! Maybe my favorite scene in the movie. He runs out, and suddenly, he backs out, like, scared of the church. As all the people rise up, they have no face. And there's a bunch of cultists outside. And there's this funny shot where he starts running and the camera, like, clearly there's like a guy in a dolly, like, following, tracking with him. He goes to his car. He's about to get in, but there's already like a guy sitting behind the wheel.
Just
the guy just sort of looks at him like, hello.
He's like, I'm here.
It's like, oh, damn it. And he just runs off and they just kind of like dogpile him. But it's so unintentionally hilarious. And it's also funny, too. We should mention Shatner has shot one of these guys already. And it's so funny, too, because he shoots him and a bunch of goop comes out. And Borgnine's like, is that the extent of your faith? And like, as the movie goes on, we get more of these cultists getting shot. And I'm like, you know, it seems like the gun is pretty effective against these cultists. They are dying.
I mean, a gun is a gun.
It is killing them. Like, there's no shot where, like, he shoots them, but then they rise up again. It's like, no, they're dead.
You know, it doesn't really matter what you believe in. A gun can kill you with bullets.
Yeah, it's odd. And this amulet that's supposed to work, Borgnine just does, like, an illusion spell, and it becomes a snake, and Shatner freaks and throws it, and then he realizes, oh, he just cast some sort of illusion. Let me go back to it. Oh, shit!
Yeah. He stole the and then amulet. It's just like, all right, done with that.
Yeah, and then we cut to somewhere... ESP demonstration. That's what this movie is. It's like, and now we're going to cut over here to some other random characters that we're not going to bother to introduce. Mm-hmm.
There was like one shot of at the house at the beginning of like, I guess, a family photo that involved the brother who that it's like for like 2 seconds, and then yeah, well, you know, 20 minutes later or whatever, we're over here. And
did they mention a brother or anything like that in the before? I don't know.
I don't think so. I think you just see a picture.
Yeah, and you're like, okay, there's a guy with a mustache. Okay, oh, we're doing okay, uh huh. And then yeah, here we go. Yeah, they're demonstrating.
Tom Skerritt's wife, who's like the main point of this demonstration, starts to have like a freak out because she starts to see images of the church and Devil Borgnine, and she freaks
out.
And
Shatner, I think, too, right?
And Shatner, too, with the no eyes, and herself caught in the Devil's Rain.
In the Devil's Rain, spoiler.
A little bit later. But they decide to go to Redstone. Well, first they go to, I guess, Tom Skerritt's mother's house.
Yeah.
They find that it's like, oh, everyone's missing. And there's this old guy here, like, rambling about, like, faceless people. What's going on? And apparently, they talk to the sheriff, and it's established, I guess, that this storm that we see just wiped out the entire valley. Even though there's, like, no evidence of any storm that blew through.
Yeah, and so that's why the sheriff can't help this man
There's
with
so
his
many
missing family members.
And you're like, the only like areas we see appear to be like in the middle of nowhere. You're like, people live here?
I do. Like, there's a very funny exchange, though, that we do get from this, where he's talking with like the sheriff or whatever about the storm. It's like, okay, so there's a, in the, whatever, there's a big storm that passed through here, whatever. That's what we're meant to believe. Mm-hmm. And Shatner's like, talking about how the devil went in his house and was like,
it's
throwing
things
Shatner,
around. It's not Shatner, it's the
brother. The brother, yeah, is like everything, you know, yeah, everything is like screwed up in my house. And the sheriff
was
like,
the storm did that?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's like, I just love the idea that, like, okay, like a big storm passed through this place and I showed up and my house is all screwed up. Well, that must have been the devil. That's the only rational explanation here, is the devil just messed up my house. What, you think a storm could mess up my house?
Well, it's funny because the house doesn't appear to have any external damage, and yet the sheriff is convinced, it was a storm. So the storm walked in through the front door, torched it up, and then walked out, closed the door behind
me. Hung my old man upside down, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
The sheriff can't spare a man, so Tom Skerritt's got to go check out this redstone place on his own, and
with
they
his
walk
wife,
into the church.
Not on his own.
Well, yeah, he has to bring his wife without who doesn't get a gun.
Yeah, there's
she
only
just
one
gets
gun.
To come along.
Oh, well, she's got her ESP powers. That'll help, right?
She'll get a vision.
It sort of helps. It helps us as the audience, really. That's all the ESP helps.
This is when the movie really kind of loses me. I think it loses steam, because this is when the movie becomes just a loop.
This is when the movie loses steam? The movie...
Well, I mean, this is when the movie becomes really, really repetitive, because it's basically just several scenes.
That four-minute opening of just a painting.
That's the movie doesn't start until the dark, stormy night Shatner appears. So forget about the credits. Like, the movie becomes just a loop of the same scene over and over again. It's Tom Skerritt going in to the church, seeing crazy shit, leaving, comes back, does it again, leaves, comes back, does it again. That's the whole movie.
It'd be like they in trouble little, and then like be back at like the house, you know, or something. Like
yeah,
that.
He'll just leave, go back to the house, everything's fine, and it's like, I gotta go back.
And it's like, how did you get back? They blew up your car and then your fucking other car.
And they kidnapped your wife. And he's like, all right, I'll run into the night back to my dad's house.
And the doctor is here to give us exposition. And he's like, well, gotta go back.
He runs back, he gets some exposition as if this helps, and he's like, ah, that explains everything. All right, I'm going to run back with my shotgun now.
Yeah.
Just like, okay.
Yeah.
And then they take the brother and the doctor, bring the book back with them, and then like set it down in an easily accessible place where then John Travolta comes in and is like, hey, that book that you're trying to get, Corbis, is right here. Here's the book.
It's like the second or third time of Tom Skerritt going back. They go into the church and they lift up this, him and the doctor guy, the guy who looks like John Madden. They open up this like chamber or whatever, and they notice this globe inside that looks like it's like projecting like images of like people caught in the rain. And and this is when we find out what the devil's rain is. It's this object that houses all the souls that Ernest Borgnine has collected.
I love that the devil's rain is not the rain that turns people into ooze in this movie. That was not the devil's rain.
No, that's unrelated.
The devil's rain is a glass bottle.
Yeah. It's like a purgatory dimension in a globe.
It's kind of like the Phantom Zone.
Yeah, it's the Phantom Zone.
And it's so funny too, because like the doctor walks in because they leave the thing out. They grab Tom Skerritt, but then the doctor shows, like, he walks downstairs, I suppose, after they're about to sacrifice Tom Skerritt. He lifts the Devil's Rain globe up. It's like, hey. Let him go, man, or I'll drop this thing. I'll do it. And then immediately they just kind of take it from him. He's like, no!
That's so funny. It's so funny.
One of the funniest things in the movie. He's like, I'll break it, I swear. And the people are just right there next to him. And they're just like,
yeah, there's like 10 people. They're just like, we're just going to grab the globe from you.
Yeah. We're just going to grab this from you. Oh.
Oh, dang.
Fuck.
Oh, dang. Dang it all.
Oh, you know, and we forgot to mention, by this point in the movie, William Shatner has been tortured. He has been turned into a goopless or
we got,
a, an
we
eyeless
get, like, shirtless
man.
William Shatner on an upside-down cross.
Yeah, yeah.
They basically turn him into the Michael Myers mask.
They absolutely do.
Oh, so I was... Maybe you can answer this, Dave. Is this the Michael Myers mask?
I think it just, I think it's just a byproduct of them putting this makeup on his face. It just looks very, so, but the, I'm sure as so
this,
everyone
this
knows.
This isn't like the official Michael Myers mask.
The Michael Myers mask, if anyone is unaware, is actually a William Shatner Star Trek mask mm-hmm. that they bleached mm-hmm. white and added some hair to.
And it looks so much like it.
Yeah, I mean, it's like he does have a very...
It is his face, yeah.
A very yeah specific, you know, shape of his like mouth, and then the effect on the eyes is so it's like in The Devil's Reign it gets a little goofy at times, but there's other times where it's like really effectively creepy.
Yeah, the eyes the eyeless eyes or sockets or whatever are creepy looking.
Yeah,
I think
it's and I feel like I'm not too sensitive about like you know, eye horror, but it was effective for me of just like, no.
And it's by the virtue of them putting a bunch of goop on his, like makeup crap on his face, it makes his face look like a mask.
Yeah.
And his face looks like it is the Michael Myers
that
mask.
That is, yeah. It's just like... Do you think old Bill Shatner has ever tried to get a cut of that Halloween industry money?
He's at least like looked into it.
Yeah, right.
Oh, definitely. Because like, I'm sure it's been brought up to him at a convention or something.
100 times,
He's like, well, that's kind of my likeness.
You could say that's why the movies were so successful, because it had.
I bet he's asked his team to look into it, and they were like,
definitely.
It's not going to happen.
Definitely.
Did you say worth the squeeze?
I'm wondering, if. Because by this point, when Halloween started to get successful, I think Star Trek was coming out. He's like, "That's fine. I don't need the money anymore." I can't imagine Shatner saying that line. I don't need the money anymore.
Yeah, come on.
Yeah,
the man doesn't say no to money.
He knew they even had a Halloween mask, you know. But anyway,
but speaking of Shatner, this is the moment. So he's been converted. He has the Devil's Reign. He's gonna give it to Ernest Borgnine.
Slowly walking towards.
We should mention Borgnine at certain points in this movie during these rituals. I guess is able to turn himself into. I'm assuming the devil, right?
Devil-like.
I think he's just going like demon-y. I don't think
he's going into like demon form.
And also, did we say what the Devil's Reign is?
We did.
The soul is captured in this little bottle thing.
There's a lot of. This is a shaky plan the devil has. Like, he's got the ledger that he needs, mm-hmm. and now he also needs the Devil's Reign, too.
It's very unclear. It's like, so now what? You know what I mean? It's like, so it seems like his big goal was to like, we want revenge on the ancestor of William Shatner who like put us in limbo, I guess, or something.
But and I also still work for the devil, I guess.
It seems like their aim is like, we're going to take your body, William Shatner, and we're going to bring the soul of your ancestor, put it into your current body, and then not kill you. We'll like convert you.
And then
when John Travolta gives Ernest Borgnine the book, it's just suddenly Borgnine has this look like, yes, finally. And then it's like, okay, but what are you going to do?
Finally, what? Yeah.
guys, this was, as we all know, we have mentioned that Antonin LaVey consulted on this movie. So this is all just part of the practice of the.
All of this is accurate to the religion.
To the long tradition of Satanism, which was definitely a real thing,
going
back
centuries,
and not just something Anton LaVey invented in his bedroom.
Yeah, because it's just like, what do they get from any of this? What does the book give him? It's just like, because again, it's he's like, haha, I got the book, I won. It's like, but you're not, what are you doing with it?
What did you win and how and why?
Again, the stakes are never really clear with this movie.
Never, ever.
And we don't know what he hopes to gain, really, other than, I guess, punish William Shatner's ancestors, I guess?
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. Maybe just likes collecting people's eyeballs.
Madden, the doctor's like, he appeals to Shatner's inner goodness and tells him, you could break this thing, you could break its hold on you. And he tells the name of his ancestor's wife or whatever. He breaks the glass. And then we get the like 15 to 20 minute long climax of this
goopening
movie, where the devil's reign is unleashed and these people just run out of the church gooping it up, just melting, and it just keeps going on.
Ryan falls asleep, you know.
It's also
Ryan falls asleep for the eighth time.
Yeah. The doctor, I think, or like, I don't know, seems to imply when he's, you know, appealing to Shatner there at the end of like, break the devil's reign, that like that will free all the souls. But it seems like it just kills them all into goop. Yeah. So
like, there's no moment of like light going up into the sky, like, oh, know, they've been, you know, released.
It seems like it just led to more suffering.
Yeah, it's very, very strange.
Very strange indeed. I wanted to say when we get those moments of Corbis going goat mode. The prosthetics make him look like he's in a like Beauty and the Beast on Broadway or some shit.
Yeah. Oh, it is very Beauty and the Beast.
It's it does look kind of good. Like,
I thought it looked cool, the horns and everything.
Wait,
and, like,
Jackie, when you say beard. Good,
I mean, shut up. I mean, like,
are you attracted to Ernest Borgnine as a goat? What?
But I meant more that it looks like stage quality. Like, if you went to a Broadway show and there was a guy in those prosthetics, you'd be like, oh, that's really cool. Like,
well, and again, to get back to, like, everyone melting, like, there's a moment when Borgnine, in his, like, ceremonial outfit and his goat face, is, like, trying to strangle Tom Skerritt. And it looks cool. Like, he's melting, and there's a moment where, like, his one eye is big and protruding.
Oh,
and
yeah, no, it's nasty, yeah.
On top of Tom Skerritt.
Oh, like, yeah, when you get the eye falling out, that's one of the best goop moments, for sure.
Yeah, it looked good. But again, like,
goop would be done better, though. You know, I can't help but think, like I said, you know, it does recall, like, the goopiness of Evil Dead, Evil Dead 2. Mm. I was also thinking of the goop in RoboCop, towards the end of RoboCop. Mm. Like, goop technology did get better. But this is, I think it's got to say, 75, this is pioneering goop. Like,
it is.
What
yeah,
was
to
its credit, goopy
it's
before
just the
this?
The problem is they're too indulgent, and it's just like, it has no impact because
they
it
need
just
to
sits
pull
on
back. Yeah.
Yeah, the pullback, and those movies with goop have impact because you get short bursts of it, and you're like, whoa, you know what I mean?
Right.
You don't. But with this, it's just like, we're going to sit here and watch it prolonged for like,
yeah.
I swear, it was like 15 minutes because I checked the time. And I'm just like, is there any more story to this? Or it's just
no,
people
it's
melting.
Just goop and the husband and wife very slowly getting out of the building. And then eventually, the reveal that...
Oh, the building explodes.
Oh, yeah, the church explodes.
I love that.
Yeah.
I love the church
cool.
blowing up.
It looked like they blew up a church.
Yeah. It's just funny. The like, yeah, sure, blow it up.
And
why
then
not?
And then it blew up. But at some point earlier, when the wife had been kidnapped, they were going to make her, like, I don't know, like a lust thing?
Oh, yeah.
Ceremony.
She was gonna be like the devil of lust, or
the devil, or I don't know, like something kind of gross. But then
it's like
that
one drop
to be,
line
interrupted, and then at the end, it's revealed that like Corbis made her a vessel so that he could continue on, and she's in the devil's reign, even though it got destroyed. What? And then we get that. End of the movie that does end on the kind of cool visual of her like in the devil's reign, like pounding on this invisible like barrier
zone.
And this like flowy white dress. It's very, you know, like evocative.
The
but then
zone, yeah.
Like why?
Again,
like,
I think there's like I think there's a good effective maybe like half an hour to 40 minute tops short film in here somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Unfortunately,
we only
this was
needed
86
Tom Skerritt
minutes.
Going out there once. You know what I mean? Like, not three times, like back and forth. It was just, redundant.
It really is like there is a Tales from the Crypt episode here. Like, yeah, even like starring William Shatner and Ernest Borgnine.
Yeah.
That sounds like a Tales from the Crypt episode. Like, they're Puritans
and goo.
Like, Satanist Puritans and the haunting through generations. You know, like, that's totally. But yeah, you'd. This movie kind of reveals itself for what it is. I think the moment for me was when, so in the beginning, you know, there's the rain and the goop, and then William Shatner is going to go to the mining town. And I think it's that drive to the mining town is where for me, I don't know if my heart sank, but it's like you realize what this is because it's so clear. That's the point where I think it's most obviously for the first point where it's just like, oh, they're padding this out. Like he's going to get out of his car and
like take his jacket off and then get back in the car.
Yeah, and then get back in the car and like, what was the point of that? Like that.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, it's, you know, though, I can't hate this movie, though. Like, I kind of can't be mad at it from where I'm coming from. Like, it's pretty bad. but, like, I don't know. It's like we need these kind of things.
I like a silly goopy.
How is Michael Caine gonna get his start? You know, he's gotta edit this. William Shatner's gotta work between Star Treks. You know,
unironically, you know, the B movie industry was a very important aspect of the industry.
Idan Lupino's gotta keep cashing checks.
Yes,
you know?
I had an epiphany. The best way to watch this movie would have been in its original form in 75 at a drive-in. Because you go to a drive-in, it's usually a double feature. You see two movies. This could be the first one. You watch some of it, you fall asleep. You can wake up, you see the next part of it, and then you watch the better movie that follows. So, like when you're telling people about the
double first, actually. You
know, when you tell, this is maybe why Tarantino likes it, I bet, because he probably fell asleep too, saw cool moments, fell asleep, woke up, saw another cool moment, fell asleep. You know what I mean? So in his mind, he's like recalling the cool moments from the movie, which.
Yeah, I mean, I think this would have been fun with, you know, you go with an audience and smoking cigarettes and stuff like that. And
yeah, maybe like making out with someone every few minutes when it gets boring.
Kind of
half
paying attention to the movie.
Yeah, and then you kind of like look up, you're like, oh, this is a cool sequence. Now it's boring again. Let's go back to making out. The original Netflix and chill.
That said, but that experience just doesn't exist anymore. So with that said, yeah. I would not recommend this movie. The ideal experience to watch it no longer exists.
And I may have liked it the most out of everyone here, but I would not recommend it either, unfortunately. But it's, you know, I'm not mad at it. You know, I wouldn't recommend it, but like, I see you, Devil's Reign.
I will say this because in a way...
Sorry.
Yeah, it has cool posters. It's an awesome poster.
When did that happen in the movie? This lady?
No.
Yeah, who's that naked lady?
It was a naked lady.
There was no naked.
Describe for the poor listeners what we're looking at.
It's sort of like scenes from the movie, but there's a big giant naked lady on the poster
with like her hair tastefully covering her nipples.
To in Chubby or whatever, Chad Tubi.
What is this? Is this Spanish, right? Or is this like
The Devil's Reign? Yeah.
We didn't say it's like a co-production between Mexico and the U.S. So there would have been like a Spanish. Version, I'm sure.
That must be like the.
But we should say, to kind of double up what you were saying, Mike, I'm not necessarily mad at it either. And in fact, since this whole promotion is in ways kind of the counter to our previous January promotion of Jesus Theory, I had a better time watching this movie than I did The Passion of the Christ.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. I would recommend The Devil's Reign over Passion of the Christ easily. Yeah.
Definitely. I think both are indulgent in their own ways, but this one was an easier watch.
Yeah. What about you, Jackie?
I don't know.
Ryan is grimacing
right
now. I should point that out.
I don't know that I would recommend The Devil's Reign because it is, you know, kind of boring. But for the times that it's not boring, it's kind of fun. So that's sorry to dame to
minutes,
to damn it with faint praise.
How many minutes of the film, Jackie, would you say out of the 85 are not boring?
20.
I'll be generous and say up to 30 minutes.
Oh wow,
up to 30 minutes.
Put
that on the poster. Up to 30 non-boring minutes.
But you know, like I said, there are a few, you know, genuinely creepy bits or you know, interesting visuals, and I'm sure you can find a nice aesthetic a collection of those images somewhere on the internet. So that'll do. But no, I don't recommend it.
Well, Ryan, why don't you bring us home?
No, I just think with, like, I mean, the curio of like who's in this and stuff and like the time. And it's kind of interesting, like the we have like this handful of movies in the mid 70s that like set off a satanic panic of the 80s kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's like it's always in people's heads, and you know, the I find that interesting about this stuff. I've never been like Catholic imagery stuff isn't scary to me, you know, this stuff at all. You know what I mean? So I'm not, it's like,
wow, Mr. Tough Guy Ryan over here.
I'm like, burn it down. It's like, it's just all it is. It's like, there's nothing at all to me, like spooky about this stuff. But I know there's people that are into this type of thing, you know, and then also people that are into these sort of B movie, you know, exploitation sort of. I mean, there's ones that are really fun, but like, you know, the same era is like Rosemary's Baby, and like they're really quick with like the real scary, like similar imagery, I think, in this movie, where it'll be like quick zooms and quick edits away, and it's almost like you don't see what the hell's going on, and this is just kind of lingers on it to the point where it becomes a sort of like, ugh, you know.
Those movies are a lot more effective with the editing and knowing when to show.
But there's fun stuff. I'll say
I also agree. Rosemary's Baby is better than The Devil's Reign.
but no, like I think, like, I mean, I don't know. I haven't seen Shatner in many like movies that aren't Star Trek movies, so that's kind of fun to watch. So I think that's like for anybody that's like, you know, seen Shatner in other shows, but never really other.
There,
movies.
There is like a lot of value of like if you want to see Will Shatner shirtless on an upside down cross. This is the movie for you.
And I think I know some people who do.
So I think, like, yeah, so for people, I think I myself wouldn't put this on my shelf, but I think there's you know, stuff in this, you know, so. But I like I said, I fell asleep way too many times, but I don't know if it's my fault. I started different, it's different times of day, it's in the morning or at night. It was not, like, necessarily, I wasn't putting this on at 2 a.m, you know, but. Mm-hmm.
Well, this Ryan, is what were you doing while the rest of us were watching this movie in the store?
He was in dreamland.
I was, you know, just writing my book in the back, you know, and writing in my book, you know, with blood.
In blood, you know? Yeah.
Well, this is the final film of Satanuary. You know, we would have done 4, but we can only let so much evil into our hearts before our eye sockets recess in and just become black voids.
Turn into Michael Myers.
Let's now that this is the final one, let's kind of rank the devils in these movies. I'm going to go first. I think at the bottom we got Bedazzled. I'm sorry.
you didn't like the Spawn devil in that?
No, it was much too quick, and, you know, that movie's going for goofiness. It wasn't really my thing. I would say second is Devil's Reign, Borgnine. While he's not technically the devil, the devil imagery is you know, it screams devil to me. And then number one with a bullet is Al Pacino, the devil himself, and the devil's advocate.
The devil himself, Al Pacino.
But I just think that one was the most effective with, you know, the devil imagery and that whole idea of Satan and all that stuff. And
I think
a Faustian bargain with Satan. Like, that was the most, it was the most fun. It had the funnest imagery and some of the best and the best performances of these.
Al Pacino is definitely the best devil, Dave. But I think so my ranking, I would put Al Pacino's number one as the devil. Like that movie was really good. And he, as the devil, is a great performance. We're talking about Devil's Advocate, of course. That being said, I think Devil's Reign is now my number 3, because I think Ernest Borgnine, as we talked about, like, what is he offering? Nothing. Like, I don't see the appeal. Like, and he doesn't, this movie doesn't really portray him as very effective. He's not like running, like in Bedazzled, we see the devil doing things like making havoc at intersections or killing a bunch of people in a hospital or whatever. In this one, he's just fixated on this church in the Southwest desert. It doesn't seem like he's doing a whole lot as the devil.
That's a good point.
It's a, you know, so it doesn't seem very powerful. It doesn't seem like he's offering much. So
Elizabeth Hurley is clearly global.
Elizabeth Hurley is global, exactly. And she, at least not to the Al Pacino level, where it's like, ooh, do I want a taste of this fruit? But there is at least something I can... The wishes don't go great, but at least there's something there, you know. There's that
Fortnite
one wish
wouldn't
where...
have been able to get you a Big Mac and fries.
Do you think he ever... You ever tried Big Mac and fries as the devil? Corvus.
You think he got a McDonald's out there at Redstone?
Yeah. All he had was like shitty well water. Yeah. That's all he could offer.
Bitter well water.
All right, you know what? You convinced me, Mike. I'm going to reorganize my list.
This is a low rent devil. All right. Well,
what about you, Jackie?
Yeah, go ahead.
I would agree with all that. I agree with Michael of like what's Corbis offering me besides a fucked up face. I'll take wishes. I'll take being a highfalutin lawyer or whatever. I didn't watch Devil's Advocate, but yeah, fuck Corbis.
Well, you gotta get on that, Jackie. It's a good movie, I tell you.
Yeah, I didn't.
Yeah, I mean, Devil's Advocate is definitely the best movie we watched
for
Satanuary.
I believe that.
You want to see naked titties and asses? They're in my movie.
Damn it.
Oh, well.
Fucked up. Missing that one. I missed that one. I thought it was.
Well, you were
movie.
Busy falling asleep to this movie, right? Mike and I were watching Devil's Advocate. Ryan was asleep in the screening room.
Mm-hmm. Ryan spent all of Satanuary watching this movie.
<It's> trying.
It's true.
He had to spend one of his wishes to watch Bedazzled.
I did like Bedazzled. I mean, I didn't like Bedazzled, but I did like Hurley.
At least that one had fun outfits.
Yeah, I guess from what I saw, it'd be Bedazzled and then this. But I can see being like a Pacino, you know. I think from the poster, Pacino, number one.
Yeah. Have you never seen The Devil's Advocate, Ryan?
Mm-mm. No, I've never seen it.
You got to get on that.
Oh, and you haven't ever seen it, Jackie?
Well, I watched... I came into the screening room for a couple minutes when y'all were watching it, but I didn't finish.
It's a fun movie. I think, like, both of you guys should watch it sometime. It's. I mean, I think you would like it if you watched it. It's fun.
We got a really fun Keanu accent.
Oh, I love
yes.
it.
Yes, a classic Florida accent.
I God bless him. I love when Keanu does half an accent.
I am a Southern lawyer.
God bless his heart.
Well, that's going to do it for Satanuary. Let's close the book, lock it. We'll put it under the floorboards.
with the Devil's Reign.
For Satan. Yeah, put it in with the Devil's Reign. We'll lock these away, keep them safe.
what's our next theme and oops all themes?
Well, it's strange you mention that. Amidst the wails of the wailing voices of people crying out, you know, like, get me out of here. I could have sworn I heard, like, whale noises in there.
Fascinating.
Oh.
You heard whales wailing?
Yeah.
The
it
whales
wasn't just
of
people
whales?
Wailing. It was whales wailing.
There be whales.
Wow.
There be whales.
Yeah. I think, Ryan, you said it. There be whales here in February when we return. Apocalypse Video will be in the deep. In February.
February.
Can we get that again? Can we get that again?
Can we get a clean one? Clean one?
We'll be going down to the depths in February.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Mother! Over. Corvus! God damn you!